Replacing and repairing aging B-1 bomber parts can be cost prohibitive, but a new cold spray technology developed at the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology has returned four of the military aircraft to service and saved nearly $500,000. Late last month, the School of Mines and Ellsworth Air Force Base signed an agreement formalizing their relationship on collaborative projects. Dr. Christian Widener is an associate professor at the School of Mines, and he leads the development of the cold spray technology. He joins us on the line. And Dr. Widener, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Hey, thank you very much.
Brian James is a School of Mines doctoral student who has worked with Widener on the research, and he's an Air Force Engineering and Technical Services representative at Ellsworth, and he joins us on the line as well. And Mr. James, thanks for joining us on Dakota Midday.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Dr. Widener, I'll start with you. How does this cold spray technology work?
Well, it basically uses high-pressure gas to accelerate metal powders to supersonic velocities are, on the order of what a bullet in a rifle might travel at. And those powders impact on the surface of the aluminum panel for an aircraft, and basically weld themselves, a type of cold welding that allows us to get, very high strength with the deposit, but without overheating or damaging the panel.
So it's just a way of, I guess you kind of use the term welding, but you're using this cold blast here.
Yep. It's high. So it's instead of, very high temperatures, it's using very high velocities and getting, it's kind of like a forge welding. People may have heard of that before.
And how long was this process in development? Was this, did the research and the development come from other ways of doing this, or was this something that was quite new?
No, it's actually been around for quite a while. The phenomenon of, welding by high velocity was discovered probably, during World War II from seeing shrapnel, damage and seeing parts welded together somehow that, people started thinking about. The Russians actually invented the process in the 80s. And then I would say, the big development push has probably been over the last 10 years or so.
And what brought the big development push?
There were some companies that came to the forefront to provide some equipment that would do that. I think as the wall came down and Russia opened up, some of that technology flooded out into the United States and started, getting a little bit more, the light of the sun started, shining on some of those ideas, and people started running with them.
Is there something new that you're doing with this at the School of Mines?
Yeah, so we were partnered with the Army Research Lab and a company called Moog, who's an aerospace manufacturer and involved in cold spray and repair. And we were looking at how do you get this, this great process, but how do you, really make it feasible for repairs? And so working with them, we were able to develop a handheld portable type system that really makes, accessing tight spaces and doing, repairs by hand possible.
So what parts of the B-1 are being repaired and refurbished through this cold spray process?
So we started looking at first at the parts that were either taking the most time, the most man hours on the aircraft to maintain or to repair, and also very expensive items that had, that were being rejected for parts that, or areas that, were ideal for repair by this process. So we looked at, the most troublesome parts and the most valuable parts. And that led us to hydraulic tubing, which runs all through the aircraft and frequently rubs and chafes and causes, it's just a nightmare for the repair guys, as I'm sure Brian James can tell you all about. And then the external panel on the these access panels on the aircraft that get open and closed repeatedly had fastener holes that were worn out, and that was also an ideal area for us to apply a little bit of material using cold spray and then remachine it to the proper dimensions.
Well, Brian James, maybe you can give me an idea of how the repair was done before and what happens now with this cold spray technology.
Well, since the B-1 was introduced into the Air Force in the early 80s, we really didn't have a repair process for the refurbishment of these panels, rather outer mold line on panels, as we call them. The what we would do in the past was just order a new one. Well, as supplies got low on these parts, what we ended up having to do is just a thing called a temporary repair, which would allow us to put a doubler on the outer side of the panel, which ultimately would destroy the panel over time, but it was the only thing that we had at the time until we were able to work with South Dakota School of Mines and Technologies to come up with a way to spray the cold spray and redimensionalize these holes back back to OEM spec.
So it sounds like a lot of this, Brian James, you're saving time as well as money.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If you go back to the 80s, when we first got the authorization, when Reagan was the president, we authorized, or he authorized, 100 of these aircraft to be built. And one of the ways that he got support from the Congress at the time was to ensure that at least one manufacturer or a subcontractor would be based in every state in the union. Unfortunately, that was great. Well, unfortunately for him, that was great to be able to get the votes to get the authorization. But unfortunately for us, on the maintenance side, most of those subcontractors are no longer in business. And so we've had a very difficult time being able to find new suppliers for these parts. So without the innovative ways we've been able to repair and refurbish these old components, we would have a really tough time maintaining these aircraft.
How did you get involved with working with Dr. Widener on the development of this cold spray technology?
Well, I have kind of a dual hat. One is I'm the chief engineer at Ellsworth Air Force Base on the B-1, and the other one is I'm pursuing my Ph.D. at the School of Mines in material engineering science, and Dr. Widener is my chief advisor and primary professor.
So is this fun to be a part of this? It's, you know, as you mentioned, you have these dual hats, so you're coming at this from two sides, two different areas?
Absolutely. It's been really enjoyable and expanding my knowledge in areas that I had no idea that I was lacking, especially in the material and science area. My undergraduate is mechanical engineering, and again, I got that from the School of Mines. But learning the other side of the engineering, I'm an equation with the material stuff has been absolutely invaluable.
And what does this mean, this cold spray technology? What does this mean for Ellsworth Air Force Base?
The sky's the limit when it comes to what we're going to be able to do with cold spray. Besides the cost savings, which is absolutely enormous, we've been able to save currently around $500,000, but that's really just scratching the surface. We're believing that we're going to be able to save way into $50 to $100 million on this over the life of the B-1. But more than that, is it increases aircraft availability and allows us to keep the jets doing what they're supposed to be doing, which is going over to the Middle East or wherever they're needed and providing the service that the taxpayers expect.
Dr. Widener, how much testing needed to be done before you knew that this was actually going to work?
We actually went through a process that probably took about a year from first concept to flying a panel. And there's been follow-on studies that are also in process to kind of scope out what's the full range of its potential. And, you know, but that would include mechanical testing, you know, spraying fastener holes and loading them, you know, to the full rated loads of the panel and making sure that the coating doesn't crack. There's some fatigue testing that was done to show that it had plenty of life, you know, expectancy for a repaired panel. I mean, one of the things that you think about in repair is not just, you know, can I make it as good as new, because the whole panel's not new. It's more about, can I make this panel last another 5 years, or can I make it last another 10 years? And so it's kind of a philosophy of testing that goes, you know, what is really good enough to restore this panel back to full service? And sometimes that answer is not trying to make it, you know, really exactly like new, but rather to extend its life.
Is this just applied to the B-1s, or can this be used for high-performance aircraft?
Oh, no, absolutely. This, you know, there's applications just like this on the F-16, the F-15, rotorcraft, even ground vehicles. So it's just a way to add metal back into, you know, a part with minimal heat and distortion and that kind of thing. Sometimes, you know, you can weld on a part, but by welding on it, you've damaged it. And so the idea is that this is a process that you can add material back on with very minimal risk of any damage to the component that you're trying to repair.
Could this be used on naval aircraft, which are exposed to the high amounts of salt water?
This is also being looked at in the Navy, absolutely. In fact, there's a Navy part that we repaired recently that is going through final approvals and is supposed to be installed later this year.
Are you looking at applications beyond the military for this?
Yes, we would. Those have been where our primary funding sources have come from. So our initial successes are in that area. But we see some good potential for heavy industrial, oil and gas, you know, and other things that are kind of near to our area of heavy industrial equipment that are also in need of similar types of repair applications.
So as you work on this cold spray technology, you're looking at other ways it can be applied and developing it further, finding new things you can do with it?
Absolutely. We're trying to strengthen our ties with industrial partners so that we can really take this to, you know, we want to be material solution developers and providers, you know, and really helping, you know, American industry to take advantage of some of these new technologies that otherwise tend to languish in the laboratory a little bit too long before people get the benefit from them.
So this is, I was wondering how this compares to the other work that you do at the School of Mines. Is a lot of it laboratory work that you don't get the opportunity much to get out there and apply it and see how it'll work in real-life situations?
That's certainly the reputation that we as academics have. And I think at the School of Mines, we really challenge that stereotype. There's a lot of opportunities for students to get hands-on type work. We do a lot of applied projects with industry, so we certainly try to minimize that that effect. But we're working with friction stir welding, laser powder deposition, additive manufacturing, 3D printing. So there's a lot of advanced materials and manufacturing research that goes on here.
We have a question here. Someone's wondering if the cold spray technology, if it resists corrosion or at least slows it down.
Yep, you actually have the ability to control those corrosion rates. We can put down the same material or we can put down different materials. And so in corrosion, there's things where you may want to have something that people would call a sacrificial anode, where you want the material that you put down to corrode, preferentially protecting the material you deposited on to keep it from getting damaged. Or you can put down a material that is more noble than the material you're depositing on, in which case the new material would be protected from corrosion by the larger part that you're depositing onto it.
Brian James,
some control.
Yeah, Brian James for Ellsworth Air Force Base. Is this? I think I mentioned that there are four B-1s. This has already been used on. Is this a continual process? Is this cold spray technology being used right now on other aircraft?
Yes, we're also working, like Dr. Widener said, with the F-15, the F-16. There's a lot of Navy and partners that we're working with on some helicopter applications and some other fixed-wing aircraft that's inside the Navy.
So the agreement that I mentioned that was signed late last month between the School of Mines and Ellsworth Air Force Base, this is a mutually beneficial agreement, do you think, Mr. James?
Yes, absolutely. It allows us to be able to leverage the information that's available at the School of Mines, all the work that they're doing, plus the knowledge that they possess there that could be beneficial to the United States Air Force and the Department of Defense and as a whole.
And Dr. Widener, what does the agreement mean for you and the work that you do at the School of Mines, the agreements between the school and the Ellsworth Air Force? What does it mean for your work?
Certainly. Well, it certainly formalizes the relationship and I think gives us more opportunities to partner going forward across the school. It also opens up areas for collaboration between the different departments, so it also creates opportunities for the civil engineering department, for example, to help address groundwater issues at the base. There's some opportunities for collaboration. There's an explosives research group that's on campus, and there's explosive test facilities out at Ellsworth that otherwise would not be necessarily accessible. So this provides some a whole host of collaboration opportunities between the base, Cold Spray just being one of those opportunities.